Hope everybody had a nice Rosh Hashanah, an uplifting Rosh Hashanah. It's Hashem, this year is going to be a lot better and a lot stronger than last year, and a lot more uplifting and full of Simcha. And now we're in the days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Tzeres Yemei Tshuva. So the Shulchan Aruch has two simanim that are devoted to these days. One is basically just in Tafresh Beis, it's the Tvilas, and etc. Marvin Slichos, singing Avinu Malkeinu, etc. Some of the dinim for this time. And then the second one, Tafresh Gimel, gives us a din by the Mechaber that you should be makbid to have Pas Yisrael during Tzeres Yemei Tshuva. And then the Ramah gives us I guess we call it more of a derech hashkafa and musar and, you know, that kind of thing, as opposed to a din. But he says that during these days, people have to really analyze themselves. They have to look carefully in the mirror at who they are and at what they are, and to really, really think about the sins. And a suffik aveira, you need to think about even more, because the vaday aveira, you could assume you did tshuva for. If you slipped up and you had something that wasn't kosher, or you slipped up and you looked at something you weren't supposed to, or you said lashon hara, or whatever it might have been, but you know you did something wrong, it's easier to do tshuva. I know I did something wrong, and I was looking. It points me every year, but certain things are just in my machzor that I see. I've been updated, but you don't take them out, and you just think of things that are like something bad I did to somebody else, and it's pashut. And I remember, you know, even 12 years later, 10 years later, I remember it clear as it was yesterday. But then you have other things that, you know, they're not so clear. They are more blurry. I don't know, was that really wrong? Or maybe there was a heter, or maybe I didn't do anything wrong, or maybe it was okay. And, you know, when you start doing that, you get into, it's much more dangerous and much more risky, because you might think, okay, I didn't do anything wrong. I don't need tshuva for it. And adarabba, that you definitely need tshuva for, and it could be even worse, because you could think that you wouldn't necessarily need tshuva for it. And the Mishnah Brura there brings down, we alluded to this a little bit last week, how in the last days of the year, specific day, but during a Tzeres Yemei Tshuva between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, each day of the week is represented, all 7 days. And he says that with Derech Mashal, that on the first day on Sunday, you do tshuva for all the Sundays of the year, on Monday for all the Monday. Today we were able to do tshuva for all the Tuesdays that we did not, we didn't daven well, or we didn't go to Minyan, or we didn't have Kavanah, or we didn't learn well, or we did this, or we did that. We have the opportunity, and tomorrow will hold true for Wednesday, and up until Erev Yom Kippur, which it will be on Sunday, of course. The din will hold true. The problem with the Rabosai, with this din, is that we don't really know what we do during the course of the year. We don't really have a ledger. We don't keep good track of what we do during the course of the year, so we have no idea what we really need to be doing tshuva for, or what day specifically. Oh, was I bad on Wednesday, or was Thursday a better day, or when was it, when I did that really bad chet, what day did I do? We have no idea. When I was in YU, they had, I don't know if they ever had it before or after, but they had a gabbai's meeting. All the gabbayim got together with Rav Yitzchak Cohn. It was great. It was a great meeting. And one of the things Rav Cohn said, remember to this day, and I think about it a lot, is he said, we don't allow people to come collect money in the yeshiva. People can't come and collect. And he also said, no hosafos. You can't add on aliyahs. But he said, why don't we have people collecting, and why shouldn't we collect during Chazaras HaShas, or during Kedu, because you have people, or during Pesukei Zimra, because you start shaking with the pushkar. I guess now probably people wouldn't touch it. But why don't we do that? He's like, 'cause it's annoying. It's annoying. It's annoying when you're hearing the noise. It's just annoying. And I had been a gabe at that point for several years. I don't think I ever had someone who came to collect. Okay, I didn't think much of it. Lo and behold, the next day, someone got into the building and wanted to collect. And I was like, sorry, you're not allowed. I was like, why? I'm just shorting out. I'm like, I'd like to let you, but I think we were told by the hanhal of the yeshiva, you're not allowed to. I'm sorry. And I'm talking to, I run into Rav Cohen that day, the next day, and we're talking and we're chatting about something, and while we're chatting, a guy comes up and asks him for money, and he gives him a quarter, a dime, a quarter, whatever he gave him, and he takes out a ledger. Now, for those of you, you know, they're so young, you don't know that there are people who write things down. They write everything down. They don't just put on their phone. They write it down with a pen and paper and a notebook. And he takes down a notebook and he writes in 25 cents, a dollar, whatever he gave. He writes it in. And I say to him, "What are you writing that in for? You know, am I?" I think I may even say, "Like, are you doing it like for tax receipts at the end of the year?" It's like, "Tax receipt? Tax receipt?" It's like, "No, no. I'm going to go up to Rosh Hashanah this year. I'm going up to Yom Kippur this year. And I'm not going to know my merits. I'm not going to know how much stuck I gave. I'm not going to know what I did. I'm not going to know when I gave it." And it hit me then. And he was 100% right. And for many years, I actually did that. I don't still do it. I don't know why, but I don't still do it. And I would keep track of things. And then come Rosh Hashanah, and then come the Tzaris Me'Tshuva, come Yom Kippur, I'm prepared. I'm not coming in with blank paper. I'm coming in as a prepared individual. I have it written down. This day, wow, and I didn't give any stuck on any Tuesday this year. On that Tuesday, I watched 7 hours of Netflix. On that Tuesday, on that Wednesday, I showed up to Shacharis 12 minutes late. What was I thinking? Was it really worth spending that time on the bed? Was I any less tired? Did I feel, oh, now I felt geschmack? No. You're still exhausted. You still come to davening looking half dead. Was it worth sacrificing 12 minutes of tefillah? Was it worth sacrificing being one of the first 10 to davening? And I remember the time where I grew up. I still to this day can't really figure it out, but the paper delivery had a very odd route. They would do the block before us. They would even do some of our blocks sometimes. They would pass by us. They would go around and they would come back to us. I downed at the Hashkama Minyan. And we never had the newspaper before. We never had the newspaper when I left the shul. So, okay, sometimes, like, on my way there, the next block, I'd flip open the front of the post to see what happened in the Mets game. And I remember one time doing that. And as a result of doing it, a guy went in front of me. Okay, not thinking much of it. And that guy went into shul before me. And I counted when we got there, I was the 11th person. And it hit me at that point. Was it worth it? Was it worth it? To know the score of the Met game, it changed my life? It changed anything? Giving up being one of the first 10? Was it worth it? I don't know. No. I do know. It wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth it. But there are things like that we need to write down. We need to know that happened. So come this time, come this week, we're able to contemplate, we're able to think, we're able to put things together and know what we need work on and what issues we did. So when we come into Yom Kippur, we're not coming in as blanket. I don't know, what did I do wrong? So the first step, obviously you can't rectify last year. You can't change it. You don't know what you did on every Wednesday of the last year. Can't change that. Impossible to change that. But moving forward, I strongly suggest that you write things down. So for next year, you will know. And moreover, what we can do with the little time we have left between now and Yom Kippur, open up a machzor as we said before Rosh Hashanah. No one who's ever prepared Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur has had any regret. There's ever been like, I wish that 50 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever it was, I prepared. I wish I had done something else. I wish I had watched the movie. No one has that regret. And you start looking through the Ashamnus and the Al-Chaits, and you'll be in for, hopefully not, but likely a rude awakening of areas we need improvement on, of areas that we have struggled in, an area that we need to work on. And you don't want to be that come Yom Kippur night, it's the first time really like, oh man, wow, this is really bad. Oh, this I really struggle with. Oh, ooh, I didn't know this was on the list. No. Be prepared. And sometimes you'll get to things and you'll be like, wow, I'm so much better at this than I was last year. Or I really don't have this problem at all. And that's an incredible, incredible chizik. It's an incredible chizik. We're going to go through the Yom Kippur davening, and it's going to start with Mincha and Erev Yom Kippur.
which you daven early, and then you have the Seudos Nosekis. And the reason we do mincha early is in case you'll choke on your food and you wouldn't have a chance of mincha. You want to get that last mincha with the vidui. Then with everything on Yom Kippur, it's really about being all in and giving your very best, as we discussed last week. I implore everyone to get the shul early. Say tefillah, give yourself more time than they allot. Make sure to say tefillah tzedaka, one of the most powerful tefillahs of the entire year. Change your life. Can really change one's life. I really, really implore you to say tefillah tzedaka. And then we'll go. We'll go. We'll do Maariv. We'll do Shacharis. We'll do Musaf. We'll do Mincha. And then we get to Ne'ilah. And at the crux of it, Ne'ilah is basically what we've been working in the last 40 days to get to. We started on Rosh Chodesh Elul. We started with L'David. We started with the shofar blowing. We started with the tshuva process. We started with the Musar Sefer. We started thinking about what can I do? What's going to be? It's all about getting to Ne'ilah. Years ago, a brother told me a crazy story that he had shared with his where he davened before Ne'ilah. My brother runs a camp. And there was a camper who had a birthday. So traditionally, if you have a child with a birthday, maybe the mom comes, maybe both parents come. But certainly, you're not expecting uncles and aunts and cousins and, you know, family friends to take off work to come to a four-year-old's birthday. But there was a kid in camp. My brother knew the family very, very well. The entire family came for the birthday. The grandparents, the siblings, the uncles, the aunts, the cousins, you know, the whole shebang. My brother asks the grandmother, why are you all here? It's a birthday. And she says, in our family, we never know. Because what happened with that family is that their son, with a very good friend of my brother actually delivered a hesped for him. He died in his first year of college. He went on a skiing trip and got in a terrible, terrible skiing accident. And Rahman al-Aslan, he passed away. He passed away. My brother knew this. He wasn't thinking that was going to be the reason why they were all there. And he said, they never know. And it hit my brother at that point, and it's been clear as day for the past 6 months. With whatever's going on, you never know. You really never know. And I'm not so into like the scare tactics of, oh, what's going to be? Is this going to be the end? But the truth of the matter is, we really, really never know. We never know what's going to be, and we are signing off on what is going to be in Ne'ilah. So if you don't know. And at that point, yeah, you're tired and really, people get through Ne'ilah, it's solely on adrenaline. It's the same thing when you're underneath, when somehow, in an adrenaline-filled moment, you're able to pick up something that's 500 pounds. How is that possible? You can't do that. We're not body lifters. How do we do that? Adrenaline. Ne'ilah's all adrenaline. It's all adrenaline. We don't know. We don't know what it's going to be. We never know. We never know in this world what Hashem is planning. We never know. Is there going to be a COVID? Is there going to be death? Is there going to be sickness? Is there going to be whatever sorrow a person goes through in the course of the year? When you think of the sorrows that you're going through, the sorrows that Klal Yisrael is going through, Ne'ilah's where it got signed off. That's where it got approved. It's like when you go to your boss to try to get an approval for a budget. Okay, you sign this. That's what's happening. Hashem is signing off for you, what's going to be. And you never know. You mamish, never know what is going to be. Is this going to be the end? I don't know. So my whole family is coming because I don't know what's going to be. We don't know in our family. And we don't know in this world. We do not know what it's going to be. And as a kahila, we have to rise, and we have to bring our very best to make sure that this Ni'ilah is the most special Ni'ilah of our life. And that anything and everything, we give our entire being towards making Ni'ilah the best. When I was Shana Bet, Rav Jake told over a story in the name of Rav Nussbacher. Okay, I think about it every year before Ni'ilah. Such an impactful story. Nussbacher told over. It's a guy who runs the New York City Marathon every year. He's a pretty good runner. And if I ran the New York City Marathon, they'd either be picking up my body or I wouldn't finish. But this guy was like a pretty good runner. I don't know what the best times are. I would just make up that he was doing it in 4 hours. He did it in 4 hours and 20 minutes every year. And he decided for this upcoming year, I'm going to be a guy who's going to do it in 4 hours. I'm going to do the marathon in 4 hours. He trains. He's ready to go. The night before the marathon, he has his noodles. He has his starch. He is ready to go. Comes the day of the marathon. The marathon starts. He has his water. He does his stretching. He's doing great. He's a quarter of the marathon in. He's on pace for 4 hours. He's half in. He's on a pace for 4 hours. Three quarters, he's doing great. He feels so much energy. And finally, the race ends, and he finishes in 3 hours and 57 minutes. He had surpassed his goal of doing the marathon in 4 minutes. And he says after, I feel so good. I can do this whole marathon again. Hard to imagine someone could do 26 miles twice. Mamish, hard to imagine. And Rav Nussbacher says, you know what this guy is? He's a fool. Because he left something on the table. For what? He's not doing the marathon again for another year. Who cares if you had that energy? What's the difference if you had that energy? It would be like in the hot dog eating contest. You know, they have on July 4th. They say you have to eat 40 to win. A guy eats 30. He's like, oh, I can eat another 30. But who cares? The contest is over. You didn't win. What's the point? This guy could have set world records. He could have done incredible. He could have done amazing things. But no, he had energy. He could do the marathon again. When the Ni'ilah ends, the last thing you want to say is, this is so great, I can do another Ni'ilah. Rav Kualwasser is amazing. I can do another Ni'ilah Rav Kualwasser. But you don't get another Ni'ilah. You have to wait till next year. You missed the point. It doesn't do anything for you if you get another Ni'ilah. This is a Ni'ilah. This is it. You're not getting an opportunity. You're not getting round two. You get one crack at it. You get one crack in Ni'ilah. You're not going to get a second one. So don't leave Ni'ilah with any energy. Use every ounce of your energy. Jump and go nuts during every Kel Melech Yosheiv. At Shema Yisrael, the end of Ni'ilah, during Avinu Malkeinu, we're saying every phrase out loud. When we're yelling Hashem, Hua Elohim, 7 times, and recognizing it, and being mekabel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our Elohim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our God, and that he's the Melech HaOlam, and we're like, end this, end COVID, end all the tragedy. We recognize you're the Melech. Yell it. Don't answer and say, I can do another 7 Hashem Elohim. Great! Next year. You have to wait a whole year for it. You don't get it again. You wait a whole year. What good is having that energy? It doesn't do anything for you. Don't leave anything on the table. Put it all out there on Ni'ilah. Ni'ilah is your triple overtime in an elimination game. Next goal wins. You don't get another chance. If they score, you're done. There's not. When the Falcons lost to the Patriots in the Super Bowl in overtime, they didn't get to say, oh, we could do it again. Or when Russell Wilson threw the pick at the 1 yard line against New England, oh, we could play another game. But you don't get that other game. You lost. Game over. No more opportunity. You get one Ni'ilah. Make it count. Make it everything. Make it your mahus. be all in during the Ni'ilah. Leave nothing on the table. From the Sicha before Ni'ilah to the entire Ni'ilah. Ni'ilah is not that long. And in Eretz Yisrael, is kind of, you kind of know where it's going to be. Because you know you're getting up to Birchas Kohanim by Shkia. And then it'll be another 20 minutes after between Duchening, Sim Shalom, Avinu Malkeinu, everything else until Shkia Shofar. You know, it's not a surprise. It's not a secret. Oh, when is it going to end? It's not Musaf where, I don't know, maybe it'll end at 11 this year, maybe 12, maybe 1, maybe 2. Who knows? You don't know where it's going. You know where Ni'ilah is going. You can really pace yourself. But don't leave anything out there. Put it all out there. Don't say, I can do this again. Because you don't get that chance again. You get the one chance. And remember the other story. We never know. We never know in this world. We don't know. We don't know what our power of tefillahs can be doing, can be saving, can be just for the sake of this year being, you know, somewhat normal and somewhat bearable, and you know, for everyone in their own way is going through struggles and challenges from, you know, what's become the new reality. We have the power to change it. We have the power to sign off on things on a little bit of a different outcome. We may give it our all. We may not give it our all. I don't know. Every birth will be different. Hopefully everyone will. But no one should leave Ni'ilah being like, I can do this again. You should literally have to crawl to your room. It should be painful to walk after. You should be feeling that much pain. You running your marathon. That is your marathon. Ni'ilah is your marathon. Not to mention the other tefillahs, which are so, so important. So, so important. But that's what it's at. Ni'ilah is the climax. It's the end. It's the end of the game. It's the end of the game. You don't get another chance. You don't get another chance. Make it count. Make it count. Are we tired? Yes. Are we hungry at that point? Absolutely. Are we, has davening been very long? Maybe not as long this year, but still long. Yes, I agree. It's still long, but this is what it is, and there's only one Ni'ilah. You don't get to make it up. All year we have all our tefillahs during the year. You only have that specific tefillah for that day, but all year we can make. Oh, you had a bad mincha, okay? You make it up with a strong ma'ariv. You had a bad shacharis. Make it up with a strong mincha. Shabbos shachar isn't great. Have a nice musa. Ni'ilah. The difference between Ni'ilah and Maariv for Motzei Yom Kippur are very, very different. They're not the same. They're not the same. Make it the best tefillah of your life. Leave the tefillah utterly exhausted. You should be so tired. It's like a workout. It's a Leva Chayal workout. You should, when you're just starting, you're in terrible shape. You should leave it so tired. There should be nothing that you can possibly give over anymore. You're done. You yelled. You pleaded. You begged the Borei Olam to make it matter. We'll end with this. For my last few years in Queens, I had the tremendous chus of davening Yeshivas Or HaChaim. I don't know what they'll be like this year for Yom Kippur. But their Ni'ilah is like nothing else. Because the Chazan comes over, they yell Asher and Balazion all out loud to make up for the whole year of not having Kavanah. And the guy for two straight hours, all he does is he's screaming his brains out. And the place is rocking. The place is absolutely, absolutely shaking. I had a Yom Kippur there, and then I was at a Met playoff game, and at a Met playoff game in 2015 when it was shaking. I don't know if City Field was shaking as much as Or HaChaim. Or HaChaim's literally shaking. The Olam is nuts. If you're not yelling, you're a yachid. Everyone there is yelling, and they all get it. We don't get another one. This is it. Make it count.
Make it matter. If the Shana Bet guys who are leading the yeshiva with no alumni, with no community members, make it count for Shana Aleph and make it count for yourself. Make it the best experience of your life. Gemar Chasima Toivah.